Hello to all our listeners, wherever you may be. Welcome to the Homily Studio for the 11th Sunday in Ordinary Time. We've got four of us in this session, and I'm Kate Cairns filling in for Father John O'Connor, who I believe might be on his way to or in Italy for the next part of his sabbatical. He's just had a holiday with his sister and her family in Scotland. And some of us would have seen his post that he's put up on the Food for Faith website around, is it Thin Places?
Thin Places.
So we might reflect on that as we go through if it's relevant. Colin and Jovine, Trina, please introduce yourselves.
Kia ora koutou, everybody. I'm Colin McLeod, based down here in Dunedin. I'm head of the National Centre for Religious Studies for my sins.
What sins, Colin?
Yeah. Don't get me started.
Haven't got time for them all. Jovine.
Kia ora koutou. My name is Jovine and I work for Te Kupenga Catholic Leadership Institute, and I'm based here in Auckland.
Kia ora, I'm Trina. I am the Archivist and Privacy Officer for the Christchurch Diocese. For my sins, I am dealing with a new puppy in our house, so I'm very tired. Pardon me if I'm not quite as quick as I normally would be.
Great to have you all here. The entrance antiphon for the day will begin. O Lord, hear my voice, for I have called to you. Be my help. Do not abandon or forsake me, O God, my Saviour. O Lord, hear my voice, for I have called to you. Be my help. Do not abandon or forsake me, O God, my Saviour. Sounds rather desperate, and we've possibly all felt like that at times, but that's possibly not quite where our readings of the day are going. Where are we, though, in our thoughts about today's readings? We've got a reading, first reading from Ezekiel, obviously a psalm, a reading from St. Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, and Mark's Gospel. Any uniting themes to start with, or just plain observations?
I'll probably start. Parables, well, for me, parables about trees and plants are very relatable because I'm an avid gardener and I specifically like the challenge and the sense of accomplishment from growing seeds. And in the first reading, when God plants a small set of shoot on the mountain, it grows, it bears fruit, and birds of any kind dwell beneath it. And then it's the same thing as the gospel reading for today, the parable of the mustard seed. The small mustard seed grows, put forth branches, and birds of every kind dwells in its shade. So I'm fascinated watching plants grow from seeds, you know, the small that grows and bear fruit, and it comes from God, because I don't know how my seeds grow, but they just suddenly grow and bear and give me fruit. So I think the what struck me is that small things can have a big impact. So I'm reminded by quotes from Saint Teresa, well, a couple of them, that says, do small things with great love. And another one which says, if you can't feed 100 people, feed one. So starting small, because God can prosper small things. That's for me.
Yeah, my instinct very much linked with yours, Jovine. The readings are very grounded, literally grounded. They're in the soil. And I've just come back from visiting my mum, who lives in the Wairarapa, and her and my stepdad are on a beef farm, and the grass is not growing at the moment. That's been one of the driest sort of Junes and May and June that they've had for a very long time, and they're worried about their winter feed and how they're, you know, going to get through, as many farmers in New Zealand are. And it's a reminder of, not that I think that God particularly holds off on the rain, but that we live in God's creation and what comes. And for me, well, I've got the four, I was struck by all this lovely language around the birds, where we've got this potato patch in our, we've only got a little section and we grow potatoes, and then I always winter them over with a, you know, a mix of oats and lupins and mustard. You sort of sow that. And the very first time I did it was during lockdown, and I was quite chuffed. I put all this seed around. It's behind a little brick wall from our, we've got a sloping section. And when I looked out, I'd had it down for about 3 days or so, went out to actually put something in our rubbish bin, and this flock of birds just took off from the patch. There wasn't a seed left. They'd scoffed the whole flipping lot, and it was gone. This was during lockdown. I had to order new seeds to sort of come online and that, scan and put netting across. Well, this year we did the same thing. I had it down pretty au fait. But four little birds had managed, sparrows had got in under the netting and had scoffed. And goodness knows how long they'd been there. They freaked out, of course, when I arrived. But I managed to get rid of them. Now all we have is mustard. All the lupin seeds are gone. All of the oat seeds are all gone. But the mustard is striving. So I read this reading today, you know, thinking of that the seeds don't sort of just go, they don't teleport from being in the ground to actually flourishing, that in actual fact there is a care that needs to take place around it as well. It's not like you just leave it up to God. God calls us to participate in that creation as well. So to go to the beautiful bit where they're all nice and big and shady and these lovely birds rest in their branches, there's actually mahi, work to be done sort of in the middle as well. Whether that's the intent of the gospel, I don't know, but that's where it took me.
That's really interesting, Colin, because when I was reading through this, I've heard the mustard seed parable so often, and you know, and you always think, oh, you know, the fruit of what people are doing. But when I looked at the first reading and then the gospel, like the first reading starts off as this massive cedar tree that, you know, the little shoot is taken from the top, and you kind of think, yeah, that like when you think of ministry and those in ministry and they're confident in their religion and they're, you know, they really understand their faith and they're the ones who give forth the fruit. And then you take it with the gospel and it's this tiny little mustard seed. And I'm always questioning, where is my role when it comes to evangelization or re-evangelization or that? And I kind of think I'm probably more the seed than the big cedar, but it's fascinating to me that it all fits in one story. And it's a nice little bookend to think you don't have to be this powerful theologian to be able to spread the seed and spread the fruit and create the fruit. You can just be that little mustard seed that's hardy and continues and thrives and gives fruit as well, because in both instances, you know, you reap the rewards, or the birds do, even in your case.
Yeah.
I found it kind of interesting, and it was only in the later pieces of my looking up stuff around these readings that I really felt that the message, or found that the message in the first reading from Ezekiel about taking the sprig from the top of the cedar and planting it on the high and lofty mountain. I worked out earlier that was obviously planting it in Zion, on Mount Zion, and on the mountain in the heights of Israel. But that this is really, I guess, maybe an allegory, or it's a prophecy anyway. It's about raising up a descendant, a sprig from the lofty tree, as it was put, is David, who's later to become the glory of Israel. So, you know, the interesting thing that I was sort of dwelling on before that was around trees and their majesty and their meaning, and particularly trees, the cedar, particularly the symbol for Lebanon, I think it's on the flag. And I was looking at pictures of trees and mustard plants to see whether I actually knew what these looked like. And there is all of this about trees and plants and beauty, but majesty and stability. Now, a couple of weeks ago, I had a tree guy come around and take out some trees, an arborist come around, you know, a palm tree that was on a oh, I don't know, maybe a 60-degree angle or something after the cyclones we had last year. And I used to lie in my bed and look out the window at that tree and think, you know, in the mornings when I didn't want to get up, and think of that hymn that has got a line something like, "Trees do bend, though straight and tall, so must we to others call." I mean, this tree was bending in the wind often, and it just got to the point where it was bending dangerously too far. But there is strength in trees that, you know, from tiny seeds, from tiny sprigs, that, you know, has to have us in some sort of awe, I think.
Yeah. And I think that there's a link there to the second reading in terms of the physicality of trees and what they provide for us as embodied persons, you know, that we can learn from creation. And that, you know, your example, I think, is lovely, the, you know, that needing to bend, and otherwise we break if there are certain types of trees that don't bend and they snap off. Poplars in particular, I think that, you know, they'll get really, really tall and then they'll go. And I think I can remember as a kid hearing this story about the mustard seed in particular, that it grows into, you know, in my head, my memory of the words was, you know, one of the mightiest of trees. Well, of course it doesn't. It grows into the mightiest of shrubs, perhaps, but that's about as good as it could aspire to, which what you were picking up on, Trina, that, you know, there's this whole spectrum of where we might land. But Paul, in sort of emphasizing that, and of course this dualism between the spirit and the body is something that comes up again and again for him and in those letters. And I think in a way that Jesus is calling us in this gospel to bring together that sense of spirit and embodiedness, that the two work together rather than sort of dualistic. And I think that's the challenge for me in this. We had a wonderful parish priest, Father Gerard Ainsley, about 3 or 4 years ago, he decided with this reading to give all the kids in the church a mustard seed as part of his homily. And then he said to them, "Now I want you to bring this back in a year's time and we'll measure them all to see who's got the biggest mustard seed." And the kids took it really to heart. Those listening, sort of preparing a homily, here's a really easy approach. Doesn't cost much for a wee bowl of seed. And the practicalities for it, what he did is he talked about it during the homily. And then towards the end, he just invited the kids to all come up with a pinch, you know, to take a mustard seed away. And then at the end of the Mass, he said, "And for those parents now with children who have lost their mustard seeds, you can come up and grab some out of the bowl on the way out." But what he had done is he had picked, I can't remember why it wasn't right, but he had picked the wrong type of mustard seed, whatever it was. It didn't particularly grow all that well. But there was about next year, there would have been easy a dozen kids sort of turned up. And my point is, because I've been rambling a bit, that the story of the mustard seed is one I think that we're supposed to take with us in terms of how we grow in our faith, and whatever the very fact that it's a seed that grows means that we should almost be looking at when we last heard this reading and thinking about what's happened in between, what, you know, how we've grown, what has changed in our lives, what maybe has died as well. You know, this is part of our journey as Christian people.
That's a really interesting construct. So any idea how long ago we might have heard this last? So we could, you know, just for starters, each of us could think, you know, in the, not us in the room now, but those listening could be maybe thinking 3 years ago around this time, around June 2021, where was I? You know, we were getting through the second year of the pandemic, and what's changed in terms of my faith, I guess, is really what we're asking. Yeah. Mm.
It's a good analogy by Colin there about the second reading, that we need to, the body and spirit need to work together. And the latter statement of the second reading, we appeared before Christ for judgment. What did we do with the little seeds that we have? Did we do something about them, or did we let the birds eat them? and or you know, you throw them out or lost them somewhere. So it's a good reminder of what are we doing to the seeds or to the gifts that we are given to us by God. And Saint Paul also said, I like this, we walk by faith, not by sight. No matter how small we think, you know, as Trina mentioned about doing small things, not being a big theologians and things like that. But at the end of the day, what did we do to the little we have, you know, in terms of in our families, in our workplace? Did we prosper? Did we water them or feed them the seeds that were given to us? And can we face, can we front up on Judgment Day and say we did something and we didn't throw them away?
Yes, because we're created really, I think, to, I think according to Paul in this letter anyway, really it's around, he's wanting the people of Corinth, but also us to please God while on earth. And I think about that a little bit in terms of the responsorial psalm, which has the refrain, Lord, it is good to give thanks to you. And I'm reminded of my late husband, who perhaps had the wrong idea, but it appealed to me at one stage, and he's remembered it at least. And he said, gosh, if I was God, I think I'd be bored with all this thanking and praising that I'd be getting. Now, the point is that we are not God. And I've come to realize that very, very clearly. But this idea of giving thanks to God sort of puts the spotlight on the importance of our relationship with God. And a fundamental part of that is not just asking for the things that we want and need, think we need, in desperation, but it's also being grateful for what we have. And this wonderful bounty of nature is a part of that. So that attitude of greatness. And I love this piece. It is good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praise to your name most high, to proclaim your kindness at dawn and your faithfulness throughout the night. We're never alone. We're never completely on our own when we're in relationship with God. I was with a family recently and for a dinner, and you know, their adult children, they must have started a round of gratitude. You know, I'm really grateful for, and everybody joined in. And some of the things for the sort of late teenage children were a little bit cursory, but they were so used to this habit, they all had something to say. And I think for us, you know, as Christians, it's about our gratitude for the relationship that we have. And so much of these readings is really about God at the centre. It's not all about us. We don't have to design how seeds work.
So how did it work for you, Kate, when you carried on to the next verse of the psalm where it says, the just one shall flourish like the palm tree, which you've just ripped out of your garden and chucked out?
Yes, I did think of that. And like a cedar of Lebanon, shall he grow. Those that are planted in the house of the Lord, I mean, we plant children in the house of the Lord, or children or adults in the house of the Lord with baptism, I guess, yes, most keenly, but by exposing anybody to, you know, what Christianity might mean in any walk of our life. And I think we know, and it came through with David Moxon last week in the homily studio, we know that goodness almost begets goodness. I think they were sort of dealing with it in the negative and saying, well, you know, corruption ultimately corrupts itself. But goodness actually in the positive, you know, that palm tree, Colin, I will tell you how many of those sort of acorn-like palm seeds I've picked off the lawn, hundreds.
Yeah.
Now, I don't want palm trees in the lawn, but there's going to be plenty of opportunity for more of them to grow in the garden.
Great.
Javine, I really like that line from the second reading as well, that we walk by faith, not by sight. Because in a way, when you look at these readings, it's almost like that God has this plan. Because the little mustard seeds, that no, you don't have to fertilize them, you don't have to do anything, they just grow, and we don't know how. And it's like you were saying, Kate, you know, we don't have to know, because that's our faith, and we just need to. I think one of the things I'm getting from this is just trust. You know, God's got it. You just got to trust him and just walk with the faith, rather than, you know, like a watched kettle doesn't boil. Clearly, neither does a little mustard seed. You know, a watched mustard seed doesn't grow, but just trust that it will. And walk in the faith. It was funny because I used to teach my kids when they were little, when they were praying at night, when you were talking about thanks, I taught them the first thing they had to do was thank God, and then they could ask for stuff, because, you know, they do. And my son, it was quite funny because after a couple of days in a row of doing that, he stopped asking because he was so busy listing off all the things he was thankful for. And I thought it was such a cool thing. And so, yeah, in our own faith, maybe we do need to stop thinking about what we need and just focus on what we do have and what we're thankful for, because he's got us.
Because there's this implicit in this whole thing is the goodness of the seed, isn't it? It's the and I was thinking, as we've been talking, that, you know, my instinct with seed shows you what type of gardener I am. Gelvin, you'll have a different stance on this, but as go to the shop, buy the seed, nurture the seed. That wasn't Jesus's stance. I mean, I know they could buy seed. There were people that gathered seeds that you could go, but most farmers, and as I understand it, they would generate their own seed. They'd take great care and keep the best of the seed, because the seed needed to survive until the next planting season, and that would mean good crops. You know, it's the seed Jesus is talking about is something that we already have, has already been given to us, it's already been planted in us, and then, yeah, as you say, because it's good seed, the growth is sort of going to happen. Maybe we stake it, or we, you know, protect it from the wind, or we create some of the conditions for which it can flourish, and those around us create those conditions with which it can flourish. But the seed itself is good.
Now, where can we go with a take home or a take out or a take away, whichever one we want, from all of this? If we were, well, in the pews this Sunday, what do we think could be useful to take away from these readings? One or two thoughts.
For me, the gospel acclamation sums it up. The seed is the word of God. Christ is the sower. The seed has been sown to us through Jesus' works, passion, death, and resurrection. But the seed cannot grow without being nurtured. So we need to do our part to grow the seed. I'm going back to my analogy of growing from seeds. Our task is to feed it with faith and water it with good works. Because as James said, faith without works is dead. So we need to do something about our faith and turn it into works. And God can turn anything small into something big.
I couldn't improve on that. That's a really good take home, Jelvin. Thank you.
Yeah, and I was thinking exactly that too. That's beautiful. That's exactly where my own heart is. And maybe just to add that the harvest will come and is happening, you know, that seed is bearing fruit, and we can, rather than look at the negative, which is around us too, we can actually look at all that positive, of where faith flourishes and how it fills our world with goodness.
And out the back of that, I was thinking of, you know, everything in these readings is pointing to God's power, but it's alongside what we're empowered, as Jelvin put it, to do, really. And in fact, we don't even have to feel we're alone. It's a joint mission here, or that everything's up to us. You know, God's providing a lot of the rocket fuel that we need. So we have a collect, and I think that probably also there's a line in here that also informed my thinking. It's since without you, mortal frailty can do nothing. And so let me put that in the context of the collect. O God, strength of those who hope in you, graciously hear our pleas. And since without you, mortal frailty can do nothing, grant us always the help of your grace, that in following your commands, we may please you by our resolve and our deeds. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you.